Blog Talk Radio.
Dress on.
That's right. It's Friday. Somebody is at their desk. Look, there's somebody right at their desk right now. We were playing the song. It's just being a head. Oddly, that song is a weird kind of R&B headbanger song. I don't know why. But every time I see women, it's always a headbanger thing.
Yes. Tossing the hair and all over the place.
That's right. That's right. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Corey. How are you?
Ginger, I am fantastic with a side of great.
Bet you are, too. As many dings as I was hearing, I'm very certain you are.
I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a Nile, not just a river in Africa.
Woo-hoo. You know what? Your own necklace is kind of cutting into your neck. I just
my neck is kind of bare at the moment. I'm a little sad about that.
Your neck is not bare. Whatever.
It totally is. I'm missing it.
Okay. So remember my baby shoes?
Yes. Yes. How'd they turn out?
I'm still working on them things, girl.
I thought about buying a kit and doing it. I really did.
It is, I think it's because my first pair, it's extremely difficult to get the lighting right. And I know it's going to be small, so when it's, you know, shot down, it's going to be lovely. You're probably not going to notice all this craziness, but wow, it is quite, it's different. And I always make something for the little boys first. Why? Because it doesn't need all the embellishment. Usually, you know, stuff for little boys is just, you know, it's this. But I did pick a hard shoe to mimic, I got to tell you.
Wow.
I'll show it to you later. It is a seriously hard. It's got so many colors on it. I was like, why did I pick this shoe? I know why I picked it, because if I had a little boy, that's exactly the shoe I'd get him.
Okay. I was like, did you pick the biker boots?
No, and I saw biker boots, and I almost, you know, went with it. You know what I like? And people are like, what the hell are you guys talking about? If you listen to our show on Tuesday, Pixanisi, you get to hear where we get some of this stuff from. But there's usually very bare bones, which forces you to have to buy all of them. This one actually comes with everything, every shoe that she has. So when you get it, you get to experiment with all of them. And then you can buy the scripts, you know, to sell that particular shoe, which I like. And it comes with five. So I like that. So I'll probably place out one or, you know, five different ones for sale.
Interesting. Awesome.
It'll be fun. All right.
Let's see what you do.
Oh, I can't wait to see what I do either. Okay, on to the news, the top of the news of the hour. I must do it. I'm sorry, Ginger.
You go right on ahead, and then you give me that link.
I am actually going to post the link on our Twitter. I told you guys, make sure you're watching our Twitter feed, our Facebook, a couple other places, Stumble. Yeah, it's going up everywhere from us. The beta signups for Salem the Game are officially open. And I am so, so, so excited.
I cannot wait. This is amazing. Okay. I'm waiting to play. I cannot wait.
So let me tell you what they sent over. Okay. So, of course, Salem is being developed by Sea Tribe. And it's being published by Paradox Interactive, one of our most favorite game companies.
They are amazing. We love them.
And Salem is set in the...
I'm totally kissing up, by the way.
Yes. They love us. They'll give it to us. They love us. But Salem is set in the new world when pilgrims were the norm and the frontier was still the greatest risk to a person's health. Salem is supposed to be a unique core gaming experience for MMO players and crafting enthusiasts like all of us here at GameNHX and GGR. It's also best known for what we keep talking about, the permadeath mechanic, where in-game characters succumb to the harsh wilderness environment. Yes. Right now, Bjorn, I hope I said your name right. Bjorn Johannesson said that we've been getting beta requests from gamers since we announced Salem. He said to fully be able to keep into beta testing. He said, we've chosen to keep the sign-up completely open, the more the merrier, and we'll do our best to listen to all the feedback that we get. Again, Salem is a free-to-play MMO, which is scheduled to release in third quarter 2012, which is right around the time a lot of you that are in college will be going back to school or sending little people back to school. So that's perfect during the day. Get some little boogers off and be like, it's time to kill some witches, or witches, it's time to kill some pilgrims. Again, if you're watching our Twitter, did I tweet it? Ginger, do you see it? Ginger, you're muted, darling.
Oh, my God, I'm muted. No, I haven't seen it.
All right, so I'm putting it up on our Twitter first, and then if you missed it on Twitter, if you're not listening live and you don't feel like searching through our Twitter feeds, you do need to be following us on Facebook, because it's on our Facebook. It's also on our Google Plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm totally watching. Hold on, what are you doing? There it is. I'm clicking on it. Nobody take my sign up. I swear to God, you take my sign up. Somebody.
Yeah. Breathe, Ginger. It's okay, baby. It's okay. Yeah.
First name, Ginger. Sorry.
She said first name, Ginger. I am so excited about this game. Cannot say enough about Paradox. They do such good games. Wow. I'm just elated. I haven't been this excited about an MMO in a long time. I think this is on par with me for EverQuest. You give me some crafting, I got witches, and I'm on the frontier, a place that is seldom done in MMOs, which irritates the hell out of me that everybody is all stuck with the orcs and trolls. I'm sorry, you WoW players. I need something more. I'm tired of orcs, trolls, the magic sword, this type of stuff. I like a little variety, and this is going to provide it. I already got my name picked out. You remember all the names and stuff from that time period? The mm-hmm. women? Sarah Good, such a... My name is going to be Sarah mm-hmm. Good. It's going to be Strawberry.
No, it's going to be Ginger something or other. It's always going to be Ginger.
Sarah Good Witch. You know what I wonder about?
I will be the redheaded witch running around being as evil as I possibly can.
I'm going to defect from being a pilgrim to a witch.
Oh, very nice. Very mm-hmm. nice.
I've already decided.
Very nice.
You know what? I wonder if they're going to actually play with the lore from the time period. Well, it's not lore, but the whole why can't I think of the slave's name that supposedly started all this mess? The only one that lived. Tituba.
I don't know. You know, I honest to God, all right, we both live in Texas, so you know how it can be. And I grew up in a small town. One of my favorite books about third grade was about the Salem witch trials. I found it in the library. Once they figured out what I was reading, the book disappeared. I kid you not.
I believe you.
I was very upset, very devastated, because I checked that thing out like 3 or 4 times, because I loved it. And then they're like, this is not appropriate for a little girl to read.
But her name is Tituba.
Well, then why is it?
Am I talking? Yeah. Her name is Tituba.
I love you too.
Girl, you see, you're catching my talking bug. It's all right. Her name is Tituba, but she was one of the few that actually survived, and she admitted to being a witch, and she disappears from history probably around the time she has 2 children, and there's no trace. I couldn't find her kids' names or her husband. I think I found her husband's name, but they ended up moving up to, like, Wisconsin, one of those states up there, Illinois.
Where there weren't crazy people that wanted to burn them alive?
Yeah, and she disappears from history, which I think is very interesting. I think it's interesting because, ironically, we were talking about this morning. We got put into a tweet with Nathan Fillion and Felicia Day, whom we adore mm-hmm. here. And
Felicia, by the way, I still want to have your babies. I love you.
And they were both on Buffy. One of the characters on Buffy made a comment I remember because I love the Salem Witch Trials as well, that says the Salem Witch Trials wasn't so bad. If you were really a witch, you just did a spell and people were in trouble and you. I said, I wonder. Tituba, I wonder about you. Read the historical reports. There is not an accurate identification. Like everybody else that was involved, they have, you know, their stats. Oh, blue eyes, blonde hair, you know, brown hair. Gray. Everyone you read about her, it's all screwed up. Oh, she was from the Caribbean. No, she was from Africa. No, she was from South America. She was Latina. She had green eyes. She had blue eyes. No, she was
not. Nobody seems to know what she was.
Nothing. Either she didn't exist or maybe.
See, maybe that was the deal. Maybe she actually was one of those awesome neighbor type people who keeps to herself. And these people just couldn't stand it because she was all keeping to herself.
Well, she was a slave. So how, I mean, on one hand, they're like, well, who pays attention to a slave? I said, but given what happened with this particular slave, that she started the whole witch trials.
Yeah.
You might want to know what she looks like. I'm just saying.
You might.
You
I
might want
to. But
seen.
People don't think about this. No, of course not.
Anyway, so
no, back then they were.
See how we turn the gaming thing into interesting things? Can't wait to play Salem.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I'm going to be as evil as I possibly can. And I swear to God, if it's like SWTOR, where they're like, you can be evil, you can be Sith. And then I get there and I'm like, really? This candy lollipop crap?
It's like the developers are afraid to go there. I want you to go there. And I'm hoping they do since they have the permadeath.
I'd
be free to play.
I want to be vicious. I know. I know that there's permadeath, and I know that there are repercussions. Mm-hmm. I still want to be evil, and I'm going to do it as painstakingly, wonderfully intricate as I can to where you can't quite nail it on me. That when you know I had something to do with it. Know it.
And I'm going
to prove it.
I'm doing flybys, that's what I'm calling it, because if they got a broom in there, I'm having it. I'm going to fly by Ginger.
I love my broom in World of Warcraft. I was so flippant when they took it away from me.
Oh, man. I tell you, when they put the whole witch thing into City of Heroes and I had my conical hat, oh, and I had a ripped up cape behind me and I fly. I would sit in the middle of the town square and just meditate. And my girl had the lightning eyes because she was based off of Storm originally. The lightning eyes. People would be like, you look so effing eerie. Love it.
Yes, that's what we want. That is what we want.
All right, we need to get our butts on. Because people are yes. like, get the news. Get to the news.
All right, we've got all sorts of news today. I'm not even quite for sure where I want to start. All right, but I guess I will start with a charity. Well, actually, a suspension of a charity.
Oh, that's not good.
Retake Mass Effect campaign suspends Child's Play charity drive.
What?
Yeah. The Retake Mass Effect campaign, a movement to get BioWare to change the ending of its Mass Effect 3, has suspended its Child's Play charity drive via spin after the charity asked them to shut it down. Despite its end, the charity tied to the group complaining about the ending to Mass Effect 3 managed to raise an impressive $80,000.80. Even though that happened, the group has a double moral victory after BioWare co-founder Dr. Ray Mazuka acknowledged yesterday that his company had listened to public complaints about the ending and promised to do something to appease those fans that were so upset about it.
A bunch of pansy.
Well, I'm hoping that the story gets better because so far I'm kind of like, eh. The campaign's organizer, known only as Rob, said that while he welcomes BioWare's acknowledgement, the fight isn't over yet. Retake Mass Effect is not over by any means. Dr. Mizuka's statement was welcome, but did not directly address our concerns. You have been heard. Now it is time to make sure they get the details right. And he finally explains why he decided to end the campaign. He says, I've been in contact with a manager at Child's Play. First, he wanted to stress how grateful they were for our efforts and the huge impact it will have in helping the charity. However, he pointed out that several sources are incorrectly assuming a link between the charity and the petition or outright support of the petition by the charity. This has been the source of some difficulty for them, and it has been requested that we wind this effort down. Well, you know what? I never thought Child's Play supported them in this. I just figured this was a charity that they were going to give the money to. They were raising money to make it shown, you know, hey, this is how many people are upset about this and want this changed. I never once assumed that Child's Play was in any way supporting this. I mean, hell, I could support whoever I wanted with the money that I raised.
I'm trying to wrap my head around it. Okay, so Child's Play is not support. They're supporting the people. They want Mass Effect, the ending changed.
No. They're not. That's what they're saying. They're saying, in no way have we ever supported this. We did not support this. We're thankful for the money raised for this. We want it known that we do not take sides in this fight.
Okay, because I was about to come down on the
Child's Play. Apparently Child's Play was catching hell from other corporations and other people thinking that they were in some way taking sides in this fight, and it was actually hindering what they do.
I am mad at our fellow gamers. That's like me, you know, pulling Edgar Allan Poe up out of his grave and telling him to change the ending to The Raven because I don't like it.
Yes, exactly. I think it was completely childish and immature that they would even assume to have the right to tell a developer and these writers of this game how they should have ended their game. All right, so you didn't like it. I'm sorry. There are a ton of movies that I loved, you know, the first two or three. The fourth one was horrible.
I don't like the last two Matrixes. Do I write to the Wachowski brothers and say, you need to change it?
That's the way the story turned out.
That's
whether or not we liked it, that's the way it was.
Yeah, and I stand by the fact that, you know,
that's
the way they wrote it. I may not like it, but I didn't write it. If I wanted to be involved, I should have gotten involved after the first Matrix and say,
exactly.
I want to write
for personally,
you.
I have no issue with the whole, True Blood books. I love the True Blood books.
Mm-hmm.
The TV show, I'm not really all that keen on because they changed it so horribly. But I'm not going to write the people and be all like, hey, WTF, yo, change it back. Oh, my God, I'm going to cry and whine and stomp my little feet.
I won't read the books until the show is done. Same with Walking
Dead. The books are so much better and so different.
I dare say they're not better because you don't get to look at Joe Manganiello while you're reading
there
the book. But
if he could, like, just hold the book for me, you know, pantsless and topless while I'm reading, that would be great.
6'5". Oh, anyway.
You know, if he could, you know, just pop it just right there.
Damn it, Ginger. Why is it saying you followed me? Were you not following me on Twitter? I'll cut you.
I'm following you on Twitter.
It just said Ginger followed you. I'm going to cut you.
No, dude, I've been following you for like forever.
I'm going to cut you.
You cut me. You go ahead, baby. You cut me real good. But no, I've been following I've been following you on your Twitter for, oh God, I think since I joined Twitter. I love you, Corey. I've been following you. Twitter is being mean.
The new Twitter is a little bit crazy.
Yeah. So that's what this whole thing's about. And Child's Play, I love you. You're a charity. And I really hope that it wasn't actually causing you any kind of financial harm for what you were for what you do. But at the same time, could you tell these other people to suck it up, get with reality, and get with the program? Just because somebody gives you money doesn't mean you support what they do.
It's the whole thing is ridiculous, and gamers that are behind this movement, you should be ashamed of yourself.
And you people who would hold this against Child's Play for getting money from something that you don't agree with, shut up. Seriously, it's money. It's $80,000. If you could have shut your darn mouths, they might have actually gotten more. Do you know what that other money could have gone to, helping these kids? But no, because you had to throw a little tantrum and be all like, hey, you're associated with this. Shut up.
Do you know what's bad? Okay, it's different if it was SOPA. Yes, I fully expect you guys to step up. But the ending of a game?
Yes. I hate it that people would judge Child's Play, the charity that was getting the money off of this, because they were getting the money. Child's Play is a great organization, and in no way should have been held responsible.
Nobody should be holding responsible, period, because it
exactly.
is a game. Either like the ending or don't like it or take it back or whatever have you.
Yes.
But quit, let me just say it, it's morning, quit bitching about it. It's a game. It's a story that's being told. You may not like the ending. Sometimes you don't like the ending thing.
You don't like the ending? Make your own. Learn the code. Make your own.
Make your own freaking game. They act like it's
exactly.
easy for them to go in and change. Girl, let me stop talking. I'm mad.
I don't
that makes me mad. All right, our next.
It's not a good week for them to be.
No, it is. It is not a good week. It is not your week, people. All right. Well, if you can find it, you can now or will soon be able to play Minecraft on XBLA. I said if you can find it. The Xbox 360 version of Mojang's block building hit is anchoring Microsoft's live anchoring Microsoft's Xbox Live Arcade promotion. Xbox Live's Larry Herb, also known as Major Nelson, sorry, I had an image there. Okay, has announced that May 9th is the official release of the Minecraft for Xbox Live XBLA. The game will bookend Microsoft's Arcade Next promotion. Starting on April 18th, the company will be releasing a new XBLA title once a week. Oh, so you heard the developers complaining and the gamers complaining, did you? Ending, of course, with Minecraft's release on May the 9th. The titles involved in the promotion are as follows. Trials Evolution, which is going to be 1,200 Microsoft points, coming out on April the 25th. Bloodforge, 1,200 Microsoft points, May 2nd. Fable Heroes, 800 Microsoft points, May 9th. Minecraft. Am I saying these backwards? Okay, they didn't say that. Oh, okay, so Minecraft, the Xbox 360 edition, is going to cost you 1,600 Microsoft points. Major Nelson has also announced that starting in April, all XBLA games will include up to 400 gamer score and 30 achievements. But have you fixed the issue where our gamer scores are disappearing? Because I've refused to turn on my Xbox since then. I already lost my original gamer tag. some years ago, and now, so I don't even have my correct score to begin with because I was on Xbox Live since day, the first week of its existence. But you can tell by my gamer tag because I lost it. Thanks a lot, Microsoft. So I'm not turning my Xbox on until I know this issue is fixed. Anybody out there know if it's fixed? They're like, you're the news. You're supposed to know. Yeah, we're supposed to know, but we don't know everything. We admit
it. Yeah, we're supposed to know. No. All right. What have I got? More Xbox news. Zynga games on your Xbox 360, a possibility. In a recent interview with GigaOM, Zynga CEO Mark Pincus hinted that some Zynga properties might be playable on the Xbox 360. Pincus, you know, every time I hear that name, I think of some, and I hate this, people, I know, I see some dorky little nerdy dude in his, you know, plaid shirt with the pocket protector and the glasses that are broken and taped in between, and yeah. Anyway, so back to the story. Pinka said that his company is working on developing cloud support for several platforms, including Xbox 360. Earlier in the week, it was also revealed that for the first time, they would have a major presence at the Electronic Entertainment Expo, which if you don't know what that is, that's E3. Right now, we are building back-end technology so that your game state can be saved and served up in different screens devices. The interaction cues will take from the different devices. In other words, you can play a game on a computer and call it up on Xbox, and you can resume it from the point you left off, except the gameplay will now be customized for the Xbox controller. While he makes it sound like you'll be able to play Words with Friends, Cityville, or other games on Xbox 360, it sounds like his technology is still in its early design stages, and he's not quite ready to make any official proclamation on it. The reason we mentioned E3 earlier is because that would be as good as a place as any to announce such dramatic technology. And they say, we will keep you posted. And as they do, so will we. So, yay! Corey?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to clarify something with Horace before I have to give him a light surface abrasion.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I had to ask.
Really? They're right in yelling at child's play?
Wait. We were trying to get him to clarify for us before we give him the light surface abrasion. All right.
I need to know, Horace, are you saying it's child's play fault? Because if so...
Oh, if he's saying the gamer... I hope he's saying is the gamers are not right and that we're right. He better...
I hope it's the gamers that are not right and that we're right. Because otherwise, I'm going to give you one of those nice little Indian burns. Mm. And anybody who's not ever had one of those? Ouch.
Mm, a surface abrasion?
Yes, where you take the skin and you rub it back and forth. Oh, it hurts.
Yeah, that's how and the reason why I'm doing that is because I need a place to escalate to. So if the light surface abrasion doesn't hurt you, we got other stuff. So those of you who are like me, who are anxiously awaiting your GTA 5, well, GameStop is saying it's not factored into their 2012 forecast at all. Following the company's latest earnings report, GameStop president Tony Bartel has said that Take-Two's GTA 5 is not part of the company's planned slate for 2012. Bartel listed Ghost Recon Future Soldier, which I may have to pick up, FIFA 13, NCAA Football 13, Madden NFL 13, Borderlands 2, Halo 4, Assassin's Creed 3, Resident Evil 6, Max Payne 3, Call of Duty, and Prototype 2 as major titles for this year. He says, in terms of GTA 5, we don't have... Wow, who typed this? We don't have information that we can share at this point, so we have not put that into our forecast. According to GI.biz, he also said we would adjust our estimate if we had knowledge that GTA was coming out this year. He said the information dovetails with the launch estimates given by Stern, analyst Arvind, we always have trouble with your name, Arvind Bhatia, who believes GTA 4 will hit retail in early 2013. And possibly arrive on Nintendo's Wii U as well, which would be all kinds of awesome because you know they're going to do something crazy with it. Rockstar, give me my GTA. Just give me.
Don't do it. Don't let it happen.
I'll wait. Wait a minute. Horace is saying he thinks the gamers is right. Horace, you have lost your frickin'.
Wait, no. I thought he was shaking it. He said shaking my head at the gamers. At least that's how I read it.
Mm.
Horace? We're going to need to type it out clearly.
I'm going to sandpaper.
I am mad at the gamers.
Sandpaper. I don't know about you, but the sandpaper's coming, Horace. You meet me at the Three Brothers Pizza, whatever it is we were supposed to meet at. You meet me down there and just go ahead and hold out your arm because I'm giving you a light surface abrasion. You can try to run.
Oh, no. Oh, no, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Mm-hmm. All right, what do we got? Take center stage with We Sing Pop. 30 spectacular pop tracks, 23 number ones, and 8 multiplayer modes. The party begins now. All right, so Nordic Games is excited to announce that We Sing Pop is available today, which is March 23rd. We Sing Pop features 30 sensational pop songs, 23 of which have been number ones. The full lineup reads like the tracklist from the Best Ever Pop compilation and includes Adelaide, Jessie J, Florence and the Machine, Lady Gaga, Tini Tempa, just to name a few. Nick Blower, sales and marketing director of Nordic Games, says We Sing Pop is full of power, unadulterated, sugar-coated, singing into your hairbrush feels good pop. The tailored track list delivers the most accessible and popular We Sing game to date, and with 6 decades of pop music from chart legends and modern pop icons, there really is something for everyone to enjoy. All right, so what do we got? We got Adelaide, Rolling in the Deep. That's awesome. Bruno Mars, Just the Way You Are. I love that. Coldplay, Pop. Cindy Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Enrique Iglesias, Hero. Fergie, Big Girls Don't Cry. Oh, crap. Seriously, Lady Gaga, Bad Romance, Lady Gaga, Born This Way, Nelly Furtado, I'm Like a Bird, Owl City, Fireflies, Outkast, Hey Ya.
Oh, my God.
Yes, the Pet Dolls, When I Grow Up, Rihanna, Don't Stop the Music, Sister Scissors, I Don't Feel Like Dancing, Sonny and Cher, I Got You, Babe, Vanilla Ice, Ice Ice Baby,
oh
which I did last night.
We were seeing quite a few of those last night. That's weird.
Yes, and so much more. There's just, seriously, this thing, and usually there's only like 3 or 4 songs that I like. This, I think there's only 3 or 4 songs I don't really, well, I can't say I don't like, I just don't know. But I'm sure if I heard them, I probably would.
Oh.
This is awesome. Oh, Kellis Milkshake is on here.
Oh my God.
Jesse J, Nobody's Perfect. Hanson. Oh, my God. That totally takes me back to my freshman year of high school.
By the way, it's not Adelaide. It's Adele. Because
Adele,
some people are going to cut
you. Adele.
You can't. That's a Grammy winner. And she will, you can't do it. You can't do it wrong when it's a Grammy
Adele,
winner.
Adele, I love you. Seriously. Your first really big track was From the Pain of a Heartbreak. But at the same time, man, that's got to be like the ultimate revenge. You know, I wrote these songs because of how you made me feel, and you let me go, mother. Mm-hmm. And
I was like, oh no!
I stopped myself. You know, that's got to be like the ultimate revenge. You know, you left me. You didn't think I was good enough. You thought I was too fat, not pretty. Da 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 da. And now look, I have everything, and all you have is that wife who is aging badly.
Well, males.ru, I don't know if I want to slap you or pat you on the back, honestly, at this point. The press release that they sent us over saying there's female support for my divorce in the game juggernaut. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, okay, anyway.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Did he say he supports the gamers?
No, he said he didn't. I'm looking at this thing from mail.ru.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he didn't like my air kiss next to the cheek. I'll take it back then. It was too close anyway. All right. What happened to my press release? Oh, here we go. So anyway, there's a new content or a new update for Dark Fantasy, I think. It's a browser game.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. It's called Juggernaut. I'm thrown off by this whole female support. Why do we have to be the support? Okay, so new in-game features like female companions capturing mines as resources for clans and improved balancing bonuses on PvP Battleground Maritime Front. Enhance the already popular world of Harridan. Additionally, players now have the opportunity to profit from premium accounts with several convenient extras. With the new content update, players can look forward to support in battle from several new female companions. The first is Irania, the Amazon, a woman as deadly as she is beautiful. In order to gain her trust and friendship, players must undergo a gripping quest line to prove their worth. Like player characters, companions gain experience points through battle, which can be applied to new support skills like healing, while special ailments can be acquired to improve stats and attacks for Irania and her kind. You know what? I'm going to stop this right here. Mail.ru, I do love your name, but why can I not play a character like Irania is my question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very good question.
I'm going to pop over and we're going to have a little chit-chat. Me and these people over at mail.com. Y'all look fresh. We're still hot off the heels of that train wreck we had last night, right? That was.
Oh, my goodness. That was a good train wreck, though. That was really, 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 really good.
It really was.
All right. Oh, what have we got? GameStop signs digital distribution deal with Blizzard.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. GameStop is banking on a new deal with Blizzard that it hopes will shore up its digital sales over the next several years. The deal will sell GameStop offer. The deal will see GameStop offer customers the ability to buy games and digital goods for Blizzard games in the retailer stores in the U.S. and other regions. Diablo 3, coming May 15th, will be the first game sold via download codes in the store. Console digital grew at over 64% as GameStop created a unique technology to bring consumers launch day downloads and opportunities for added content, says J. Paul Raines, Chief Executive Officer of GameStop. A testament to our strength in this area is that 2/3 of the 1 million Call of Duty Elite digital subscriptions sold in the first week were sold by GameStop. GameStop sees this deal as an important one after enriching on the massive digital sales of the Call of Duty Elite digital subscription service from Activision. GameStop estimates that global digital sales will hit $39 billion by 2014, and it hopes to pull in $1.5 billion in those digital sales by 2014. That is nuts. All right. So, okay, you know what? I have to be concerned about this because I played Dark Age of Camelot, and a lot of the expansions, we didn't go out and buy physical expansions. We bought... Yeah. A download code that we downloaded from them. I mean, and then we downloaded the game from them.
Mm-hmm.
And that took literally all day. And I understand that it's been several years and that things are getting better. But I'm still, especially with the population that Blizzard caters to, I think I would sooner just go stand in line for that midnight release. because trying to actually download the game and then having to update it, because they always come with an update. I don't care if it's brand new. There's some patch they put in since, you know?
Yeah, here's my issue with digital copies of games. There's not a whole lot of incentive other than laziness for you to get a digital copy. I said this a million times. EA, if they wanted to really put Origin on the map, when you put out your games, including Battlefield, any of them, The Sims, if you had said, okay, not only we let you go ahead and download your game, you know, an hour before midnight, but it's going to cost you $5-$10 less.
Yeah.
And we'll give you a coupon for $5 off. Because right now, everybody's like, well, it's the gas is high. Maybe you don't want to go to the store. But if there's some people that, like, live next door to the GameStop, they can walk out of their house. There's ways to, you know, get around the money. Or if you show up at a Walmart, you know, before midnight, sometimes they'll give it to you. So there's no incentive, really. Oh, yeah, and then while you're there, you pick up your five-hour energy and you can play all night. See how that works out?
Yeah.
So there's no incentive, really, for people to do digital downloads other than I'm lazy and I don't like. I really wish they encourage it. They'd say, okay, if you get it here, you can get it a little bit earlier than, you know, than you normally would, and we'll give you some money off to encourage digital distribution. Or call it green gaming. There's a whole movement that they're just missing out on. You know why? Because it's men.
Men are evil.
Not all of them. Some of them are sweet. Horace is not sweet, though. We don't want to blow his head.
Oh, Horace is not so bad.
I'm cutting Horace.
I tried to save you. I tried.
She just threw you to the wolves. Oh, my God. Well, this is Ginger's favorite company, Angry Birds Makers.
I was talking to my brother. Actually, I was talking to my nephews. They called me last night after the show. We're playing Angry Birds.
I didn't get to download Space last night.
I had a discussion with my brother. What are you letting my nephews play?
Yeah, I didn't get to get the space one last night. I was really tired. I passed out after I got off the show with the guys last night. But Angry Birds, of course, is one of the most popular mobile games on the planet, having seen at current over 700 million downloads worldwide. However, the launch of Angry Birds Space is already the number one game, dethroning Draw Something, which has been number one for quite a while. Shows just how much Rovio has expanded their business with a cross-promotional efforts from NASA and National Geographic, in addition to Walmart carrying branded items at thousands of their stores, in addition to them being at Toys R Us. And pick a store, they're pretty much in it. I think I saw one in Walgreens the other day, Angry Birds keychain. I saw somebody that had one hanging from their review mirror on the freeway the other day. It's just, they're out of control. He says it's not, I'm sorry, him being the CMO, Peter Vestrebacher. He says it's not just the launch of a game, it's the launch of a franchise. It's bigger than most movie launches in Hollywood. Oh, you went too far there, Peter. launches in Hollywood. No, it's not, Peter. Rovio is one of the first brands to launch from the digital to the physical world. Vesterbacka compared Rovio's business to that of Disney's and implied that the ultimate goal is to be the ultimate. A multimedia company like the House of Mouse, not just a gaming company. Zynga is a game company. We stopped looking at ourselves as a game company, Vesterbacka said. We sold 25 million plush toys last year. For us, it's about making Angry Birds available everywhere. He says, you go shopping in China, you see Angry Birds everywhere. We are the most copied brand in China, which means we're the most loved brand. We aren't advocating piracy, but we have millions of Chinese people who love Angry Birds. Peter, I don't know who you sold your soul to get this going for you. But you better hope. Yeah. You better hope that this train does not run out, doesn't derail for you anytime soon. You can't really compare yourself to Disney. Disney came about in a time and did some amazing things. They had some of the most amazing artists. All that stuff is drawn by hand. And they did branch out and do other characters. You're saying all you're going to do is Angry Birds, and you're going to build a franchise, you know, build a whole entire franchise that's going to last years and have a legacy. Not with just those birds, no. Not going to happen. You're going to have to come out with Angry Pigs or something. Something else is going to have to be done. And to compare it to a movie opening, honey, Hollywood already hates us. You just, and they see you as a game company. I don't care how you see yourself.
Yep. All right. I have a short one, so I'm going to grab two. The first one, I mentioned this last night. If you're listening, if you're not, shame on you. You missed an epic show. We were a riot.
An epic train wreck is what you missed.
It was awesome. SOE's Girl Game Design Competition deadline is March 29th. Actually, I think I got cut off as I was trying to read this one. Mm-hmm. All right, so Sony Online Entertainment sent along a reminder to let anyone interested in applying for the 5th Annual Gamers in Real Life Girl Game Design Competition that submissions are now being accepted. The Girl Game Design Competition is an annual initiative to promote higher education among women and encourage their inclusion and participation in the video game industry. The winning submission receives a $10,000 scholarship to be applied towards tuition and educational expenses and a paid internship of up to 10 weeks at SOE. The application deadline is March 29th. I'm sorry?
So that ain't bad.
No. After the deadline, SOE will determine the scholarship winner. All right, so if you want to do this, it's scholarshipamerica.org. So head over there and check that out. And since that one was fairly short, I'm going to grab this other one because I wanted to talk about it last night, but then I got distracted. It was seriously train wreck, but it was awesome. Carpathia Hosting asks federal court for relief on mega upload data storage costs. Dole's Virginia-based hosting firm Carpathia Hosting is tired of storing 25 petabytes, holy crap, mega upload data on more than 1,000 servers in North America because of the government's shutdown of the file sharing site in January and is asking a federal court to relieve them of their obligations and any liability. The company filed a request on Tuesday asking U.S. District Court Judge Liam O'Grady to grant it a protective order allowing it to transfer ownership of the servers and have one of the parties interested in maintaining the data to start paying for it or allow the company to delete the data after a brief but reasonable period of access for selective copying under an approved procedure. Cannot talk. All right, so company lawyers said in court filings that the amount of data it has had to house at its own expense is a historically and mind-bogglingly large amount of data. Lawyers for the company claim that 1 petabyte is enough storage capacity for about 13.3 years of HD quality video, or about 50 libraries of Congress, and that was just 1 petabyte, and they have 25. Holy crap, people.
Wow. All right,
so the company is claiming that it pays $9,000 a day out of its own pocket to maintain the data since the Justice Department shut Mega Upload down in January. After searching and copying data from hundreds of servers, federal authorities told the company it could start erasing those files at the beginning of February. Carpathia maintained the data because lawyers for Mega Upload, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and the Motion Picture Association of America all asked it to preserve the data. Mega Upload claims that the data is important to its founder's defense, while the EFF says that the Mega Upload users deserve access to legal data they stored on the site's servers. And the MPAA wants the data to prepare for potential civil claims against Mega Upload and other defendants. That aside, Carpathia contends in court that it shouldn't have to bear financial burden. If the court does not grant a protective order, Carpathia, a non-party to these proceedings, will incur substantial costs related to the moving, storage, and consumption of physical hardware, and would possibly incur further costs related to providing third-party access to the Mega servers and third-party discovery. Carpathia is caught in the middle, and while the MPAA and FBI don't want to pay for it, they also don't want the data transferred to Mega Upload. Which, by the way, Mega Upload is back in service. At least they're free, and they have had the service transferred back to them. So you might want to check that up. The people in Netherlands were like, oh, hey, you know what? What we're doing is wrong. Not Netherlands. Was it Netherlands? Anyways, gave it back to them. So, yeah. Roskin said that Mega Upload then tried to strike a deal with Carpathia to buy the service in question for $1 million, but the Justice Department blocked that as well.
Oh, come
right.
on.
Yes. All right, USAA. USAA, my bad. That's USAA. I love you. Really, I do. I live here. But could we stop this insanity? There is stuff going on that we need to focus on. There are pedophiles with flipping Nintendo 3DSs with child porn on it, and y'all are going to slap, 10 years on him and, a $10,000? Oh, sorry, it wasn't even that much. But a couple of years and a $10,000 fine on him for something that was obviously, seriously wrong. And yet you're going to charge these guys 50 years in prison and who knows how much.
We can't say it was wrong because technically, again, he just created the service. He didn't put the content
there.
Yeah,
okay, he didn't do anything wrong. But seriously, do you not see how wrong this is what you're doing?
It's because we got a bunch of greedy old men that run our country.
Yes. Oh, my God, they downloaded my movie. That was horrible in the first place. You know, I wouldn't have paid to go see it in the theater. That's what I wanted to see, whether or not it was horrible. Were it good? It would probably have been bought, because if I like the movie, I actually go out and buy it and add it to my home DVD collection and then watch it again and again.
I said, look here, you got more money than you can spend in three lifetimes anyway. You can afford to let me have one movie. All right. That was mean, right? Okay, bad news for T-Mobile employees. They're laying off 1,900 people.
1,900?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Currently fourth place in the wireless race here in the U.S., T-Mobile is saying they will soon lay off around 1,900 workers due to the closure of 7 call centers around the country. T-Mobile has been in a precarious position ever since AT&T's offer to acquire the company fell through in mid-December of last year. Since the breakup, T-Mobile has scored a 3G roaming deal and a nice chunk of precious wireless spectrum from AT&T, but even with the additions, T-Mobile still reported a terrible quarter in February with a loss of 802,000 contract customers. That would be why they're now doing the pay-as-you-go. Everybody should be doing that. It's going to happen to the bigger companies, too. Don't worry, T-Mobile. T-Mobile USA Hum delivered the somber layoff news to employees earlier today. With a memo about consolidating call center operations, according to a report by The Verge. In the memo, Hum wrote, the reality is our cost structure must be better optimized to match our customer base and call volumes. The job cuts will come from closing centers in Allentown, Pennsylvania, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Frisco, Texas, ouch, Brownsville, Texas, Lenexa, Kansas, Thornton, Colorado, and Redmond, Oregon. Around 3,300 employees at the 7 impacted facilities will be let go, but T-Mobile will immediately be filling as many as 1,400 positions at its other 17 call centers. So as a result, around 1,900 employees will lose their jobs. Why are you laying them off to put... Yeah. On top of that, Hum notes that more restructuring will come later, which almost always means more layoffs. T-Mobile will announce those cuts before the end of May. And there is a copy of his memo floating around the internet, which I'm not going to share with you. But that is horrible. Poor people. And still, Apple, you know, you could help these people if you just bring some of that Apple factories back over here to the U.S. I'm just saying.
Yes, yes, exactly. Bring it back over here. We'll work.
And T-Mobile, I like your idea of moving to pay-as-you-go. I think all cell phone companies should do that. This contract business was always stupid to me. Why can I not take my business anywhere I want to go and not be penalized for it?
And I know, you can already do that with your electric companies here in Texas. Why not your phone?
Yeah, who signs a contract to stay with somebody, especially for something that it's the cell phone is still not a necessity. It's an extravagance. You don't necessarily need to have it, but it's convenient, obviously. So why would I, you know, pay for something and then it would, what if something goes wrong? Like these people are getting laid off. What's going to happen to their cell phones? They most likely are going to switch to somebody else or try to get something cheaper. And you can't get a contract, which just puts you in a bad place, which we cannot get our people to understand. People out there, you non-techie or you techie ones that say, I must have my phone.
I have a contract. I'm not in the line.
You know better. You're stuck there. But somebody I know recently.
I'm just too lazy. It was one of those, I'll sign up for 2 years just because I'm too damn lazy to change.
Well, I had a family member do it, and I must have looked at her crazy because she actually signed a contract paying more than she was on a pay-as-you-go, and she could have gotten the same phone at the company she was with and paid $10 more and gotten whatever she needed to get. But you people out there, stop getting fooled by the contract. It's not a better deal because you pay, because it's 2 years a contract. And that's how they play you. Oh, it's going to be better service. If you pay more money and we put you on this contract, you're going to get better service. You know what? Every phone at E3, when we're all in the same room, I don't care if it's I bought this at the store for $10 or this $400 iPhone that I bought, none of them work in E3. There is no better.
I will totally admit that I bought my phone because it was a point. Actually, I bought my phone because I am spoiled little brat.
But the thing is, there is no, everybody, I 4G, I got 3G. In a crisis situation or if you're in a concentrated area where everybody has a cell phone, your 3G connection don't work any better than my 4G. You can only get text messages out if you're lucky. So all this business, they keep fooling you. You have to have it in order for you to get better service. No, if you're out in the middle of West Texas, I will tell you, you don't have a phone signal because there's no towers. It don't matter if you got 4G, 8G, 20G. It does not work.
I mean, it depends on where I'm standing in my house. Like right here in front of my computer, I have signal. I move to my kitchen, my signal gets wonky. I get to my den. Depending on where I actually sit on my couch, I have no signal. If I'm, like, texting you or playing games, because I'm notorious, I still have SL up on my phone while I'm in there watching TV. I'm dropping back and forth because depending on which way I lean, I lose.
It's the same way in my front yard. Mm-hmm. If you stand by the tree, there's no signal, and you walk 5 feet to the left next to a sign in my yard, you have the signal is so high.
Yes.
Walk another 5 feet to my driveway, there's no signal again.
I still like the idea of the mobile cows.
Cow hot spot.
Seriously, you people pay me. I will tag my goats with that.
They are ridiculous with these contracts. So I am happy. T-Mobile, I think you're going to come out of this with the pay-as-you-go thing. I think that's what's going to save you. So you guys that are getting fired, hang on.
Wait a minute. Horace, are you calling me distracted or are you calling...
Well, no, he just posted something else. He says we're right, especially in West Texas. Yeah, it does not matter. Your nothing is going to work, your iPad. And you people need to stop getting fooled by these companies that tell you, you're going to have great service.
I guess I can't actually say I'm in West Texas anymore. I'm in, like, northern Texas. I'm almost on the Oklahoma border, like, rock.
Still, that don't mean your signal's better, does it?
No. My signal is worthless. And, yeah.
If you, it does,
and actually, it's amusing because I live in a smaller town than where I did before, and we actually have the 4G network here, and they only have the 3G network from the bigger town that I lived in before.
And it does not help.
It's ridiculous. No.
And I think it's funny that, you know, my cousin, she's a gamer, but she's not super, super techie, and she sits here and she goes, "What? But I have a 4G connection." And I says, "Really?" I said, "Let's put our phones together. So you see how low your signal is? I'm still on 3G and you're on 4G. But in my house, that don't matter. And it doesn't matter if you're in a group of people near somewhere, if you're out in the middle of nowhere, it doesn't matter. You all need to stop getting fooled. They drum this into people's heads and they think, I got 4G, I'm doing better. No, you're not. No, you're not. They just, you know, all that says is I'm on a newer network, so I might download a little faster than the person standing next to me. But there is no guarantee. It's technology. It's not foolproof. It's not, it doesn't work perfect.
Use dolphins for roaming.
I like that idea. See, Horace, we need to put these animals to work.
Yes, they can start earning their keep.
Damn dolphins eating up all the sandwiches. Oh.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I got some more
news. I'm going to retweet that, Horace. That was hilarious. Okay, I'm going to retweet that.
That was awesome. All right, next, Xbox with anti-game technology unlikely says GameStop.
Oh, come on. No, we haven't. I was looking at that. GameStop, shut up. But go ahead. Tell us about it.
During a conference call to discuss its latest results, U.S. video games retailer GameStop, which I hate, by the way, because you guys never pay attention to me. What is it, the boobs? Are you scared to look at the boobs? I mean, because come on, you could actually look at me in the face.
They're only looking at the boobs. That's the problem.
I go in there with... it could be because I always go in there with the guy. The guy has no idea what we're talking about with games. He's like, oh, this one looks cool. No, it's not. It sucks. Anyways, GameStop tried to put to bed a rumor that surfaced in January about the next Xbox console for Microsoft would have some kind of anti-used game detection technology in it. GameStop CEO tried to put the rumor to bed, calling the whole idea unlikely. We think it's unlikely that there would be that next-gen console because the model simply hasn't proven to work. This is coming from Paul Raines, GameStop CEO. Remember, I can't talk now. Remember, used video games have a residual value. Remember, GameStop generates $1.2 billion of trade credits around the world with our used game model. So consider taking used games out of that. You'd have to find new ways to sell the games. And our partners are good partners. The console companies have a great relationship with us. Yes, this is why they're totally putting in DRM and stuff, right? Anyways, Raines pointed out that the majority of the $1.2 billion of credit it generated from used games went back into purchasing a video game. This is the kind of business that gets out in the industry and gets people worked up and hyperventilating and excited. The pre-owned business is not a cannibalistic business. Oh, liars. If you follow the popular conventional wisdom, you would think pre-owned is replacing new. The truth is, pre-owned is an opening price point category. The average price is $18. A lot of it's old generation. What is the category for the customer who's maybe not ready to invest in a new game, but wants to get into the console business and console entertainment? What we've done is create a way for that new leading-edge consumer to dispose of their old games, and that's what creates this great circle of life we talk about that so many try to imitate. That's how we see it. All right, look, GameStop, cut it out. I don't know who you're fooling. Game companies are charging us once we buy used games to actually use their online service. It comes out to being just about the same price as the new game. I know with a new game, I'm not going to get a scratch disc. I'm not going to get somebody who somehow pirated the game so that I can't even use the darn thing. So, yeah.
There's a whole breakdown between GameStop and the game developers, and if GameStop is not careful, they're going to follow in game's footsteps because there is already competition here for you. It's called Play and Trade. Mm-hmm. So you guys need to be very careful over at GameStop where you step. Eventually, the game companies are going to get pissed. You need to go to them. You all need to work out a royalties agreement. It is really that simple.
Yes, that's what they're trying to do right now. That is why they are charging us extra when we buy these used games, and that irritates me.
I wouldn't mind buying a used game if I know, one, my developer's going to get a little royalties. Two, can I purchase, can I pay $2 or $3 extra dollars and say if my disc is scratched or whatever have you when I get home, that I can come back in here and you're going to put a new one in my hand.
Exactly.
And we should determine that before I even leave the store. There should be a console on the floor that when I put it in, it plays just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm
exactly.
saying. And so I know when I get home if there's a problem. And if it any problem in the future, I pay the $2 thing.
Give me like a 2-week thing. If I get through the game and I find about halfway through that, hey, something here is screwed up and I cannot play, I want to be able to take it back and get one that I can.
GameStop is very fickle about just about everything. Like when we get review copies in, it's been a while since we've had somebody that sent us multiple ones, but we've had times where we'll ask for one and they'll send us 5 of it and we're like, okay, we gave some of these away and we gave as many away as we could and we still got some. Like I still have copies of, City of Villains in the closet. We have a whole, like I said before, a box I could sit in is what they came. I could fit in the whole box with the games. So these, when I go take them to either return them or sell them or whatever have you, they get all freaky. Well, why is there plastic on it? Because it's never been opened. and they know who I am. They've been seeing me come in there for years. They know exactly who I am. Some of them listen to this podcast. Hello, you guys out there, GameStop. Have played with me before. They know who we are. Why is the plastic on it? Yeah, I went through all the trouble of putting plastic on to bring to you. Tight plastic now, mind you. This is not plastic from home. This is not saran wrap where it looks like I hot glued it together. Clearly, this came from the developer. You know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't you open it? I didn't open it because I wanted you to know it was new. Well, what if there's no game in there? Have I ever brought you a case with no game in it? Ever. knowing
wow.
who I, knowing who exactly who I am, and we brought you a.
And you know what? And what else is wrong with GameStop is how many times in the past 12 months have we had to read a press release where things have been missing in brand new games, mm-hmm. or they shrink wrapped a used game and sold it as new.
Yep. But the,
so GameStop, you are sabotaging yourself.
Like maybe that's why they were accusing me of it.
No kidding, right? I mean, what was it? What was the game that came out recently? They released something and the codes were missing out of it.
I remember. I don't remember the name of the game, but I remember what she's talking about. Oh God, we'll have to
I might be able to remember the name if this weren't one of several stories.
Yeah,
that happened from GameStop.
All right. I got time for one more story. Hideo Kojima has earned a place in my heart permanently, not only for creating one of my most favorite games of all time, Metal Gear Solid, but what he said to the audience at the Smithsonian, you are so legend. He said he will never retire from game development. That's right, never. He will game till he dies. Game or die, people. Hideo is one of the biggest names in game development in Japan and worldwide, and he's reaffirmed his stance that he will not retire. Spoke at an engagement celebrating the gaming exhibit recently launched by the Smithsonian. Thank you, Smithsonian, for doing that. Told the crowd that he would continue to pursue his lifelong love of game development until he is dead. He says, I don't have any intention to retire. So until the day I die, I'll be making games. Maybe by that time, technology will be so advanced that I can just make a game myself by using a bunch of robots. Who knows? And he may be the one to make the robots. Of course, by that time, Kojima will probably not be completely focused on the franchise, as he has several other franchises to work from. Kojima remains confident, as he has stated for almost half a decade now, that he can pass the Metal Gear torch off to someone else as he begins to try something new. Please do not do that, Mr. Kojima. please just end it. Please don't give it to somebody else. His attitude has changed in recent years. Now that a Metal Gear Solid title has been confirmed, Kojima has stated that he is... I've just changed the pronunciation of his name, mid-sentence. Kojima has stated that he is fine with being tied to the franchise so deeply, but wishes to do something that pushes the boundaries. Something that may not even sell, but something that is new. Hey, Kojima, we need a first-person shooter with a woman as a front one. Can you?
Yes, thank you, please. And preferably without, you know, the big boobs that would actually throw her off and, you know, the big hips and ass.
Well, I'm not so much worried about the boobs and ass, but I'm saying, why don't we stick a Latina woman in there? We haven't had one of those.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, yes.
Do we need an ethnic woman leading a first-person shooter? And I heard fully Latina.
And if she squeals at a bug, that's it. I'm done.
She can squeal at a bug, but she still needs to be badass and pull out a gun and shoot it. Just pow! Mm-hmm. Ooh, a bug! Pow! That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Anyway, so that's what we need.
Don't have it be all like sexy shooter, okay? Can we have something good? Yeah, thanks. Blood Rain people, I'm totally looking at you. And Girl Fight. Ooh.
You know, they were supposed to send us a code and they would not. Is it out yet? Maybe we're waiting for them to send it.
I don't know, but they should totally send it to me. I do want to play your game, people. Come on.
Remember, they just missed
your press release.
Yeah, they came to us and said, we want to know what you think about it. So we'll see if they're actually brave enough to send us a copy.
Yeah, I would love to play your game and tell you whether or not it's good or not. I just also want to tell you that your press release was totally sexist and offended me.
It wasn't a press release. It was those freaking screenshots that we got.
Yes, the screenshots, too. Come on. It's supposed to be a fighter game. It's supposed to be about two girls actually fighting, not rubbing each other and caressing each other and groping each other. Right? I mean, that's hot. But
you just stop people from work.
That's what I do.
All right, guys. I still have, I forgot, I still have one more code. If you have an iPad, you want to play Unstoppable Gork, contact me. And I might have some Steam codes for something else, but I need to talk to these knuckleheads that work over here at Game and Atrix and Gamer Girls Radio about we're getting ready to go here in a sec. So make sure you keep watching our Twitter, our Facebook, everything for those codes. I may give them away on our new live review thing, too.
You know, we had that last one, and I don't think I had anybody message me. I'm looking. No. So.
I would just post it up on Twitter, but then five of you get it, and then four of you will be like, it doesn't work for me. Well, sorry. You should have grabbed it. All right, guys, you have a fantastic weekend. We will see you back here Monday. Right and early. And, of course, Tuesday night for our Pixie Nista show. We'll be talking more about these baby shoes this stuff then.
I can't wait. I'm totally going to go buy it. By the way, Allie looks so cute in your hat.
I saw her in it. You know what? You should bring her by. Let me take a picture of her in it.
I should. Or
she'll be one of my other models.
Girl, can I have a slide, baby? Mm-hmm. later, boys and girls.